Will you turn with me to a short reading from 1 Peter 2 at verse 4? For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. My text this morning, my friends, these four words: the Lord knoweth how. The Lord knows how. We could call this story a story of God's know-how. We don't usually think of the Lord in that way. As if he was some kind of technician that knew how to sort a problem or a motor car or something like that. But there's something of that suggestion here. The Lord knows a way, the right way. He knows the answer to a problem. He's got a way of doing things. What does he know? He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That's very important. It's very important, friends, because temptation is widespread. It's everywhere. We just hear of people in prominent places giving way to temptation. But it's not only them, it's everybody. We are daily assailed with the temptation. The devil is busy, friends. He's busy with you. He's got temptations lined up to pull you off course, to discourage you, to trip you up, to hold you back. Constantly there are temptations. The Lord knows how to deliver. That's the news today, friends. It's good news. The Lord knows how. He's got the know-how that you don't have. And he's willing. He's willing to answer prayer and to deliver us. So, friends, we're faced with great temptations as individuals, as families, as churches. We can be tempted to sit back and let things just go. We can be tempted to give up and say, well, there's no use these days. We're not going to see revival. We're not going to see conversions. We'll just have to batten down the hatches and hold on. That's a temptation. We must not give way. And the Lord knows how to deliver us from these temptations. I've called these situations our sticky situations. It's a kind of slang phrase, isn't it? A sticky situation, but you know how it's used very often for very critical situations. Very often during the war, you'd find a crew on an aeroplane or a men on a ship or even on a raft or men encircled by the enemy and with very little option. They were in a sticky situation. It's a situation in which it was very difficult to get out of it, as if they were held stuck there. Do you know what that's like? Have you ever been in a sticky situation spiritually or morally? You're faced with certain choices, and it's easy just to give way, and you're looking for a way how you can be faithful, how you can be true, how you can avoid failing the Lord. Yes, it's a sticky situation, and you can be. You'll find these. Look at Lot, for instance. See Lot today giving way to greed. He was given this opportunity to choose the same arduous life that Abram was living, battling for a livelihood with a meager territory. But lo and behold, he was given that beautiful view of these lush plains of the Jordan towards Sodom, and what happened in that situation? He gave way to greed. His decision was ruled by greed. He said, I want to be greater than Abraham. My cattlemen have been battling with his, struggling for a living here. I'm finished with that. Look at these lush plains where my cattle can multiply and get fat, and there's no end to the possibilities down there. What's the use of staying up here in the barren hills? I'm off. It was a test of Lot, and he failed in that test. But we also can fail, friends. We can often just let our material options control us. If we're looking for a job, or if we're faced with a renovation, or other choices that we make on material things, how often do we say, no, we must have this. Oh, we must have this new, these new curtains, or we must have this new motor car. Are we giving way like Lot? Are we losing spiritually because we want to gain materially? We want the best for our children, but is it their spiritual best? See Lot, friends, and look where he ended up. Be warned about your priorities. And it ended up, you see Lot giving way to gravitating towards the gross, giving way to greed, gravitating to the gross. Oh, he had a good background with his uncle Abraham. He'd seen the Lord working with him. There'd been a few mistakes along the way, but there was no doubting that that Abraham put faith first, and he was willing to make sacrifices to God and put God first and follow the calling and the vision that he'd been given. That's what mattered to Abraham. Lot shelved that kind of idea. He dropped the vision, and so he ended up being influenced by the gross morality of Sodom. Can you believe it? He was willing to hand over his daughters to be abused. Oh, he thought the end justified the means. I'm a man who is given to hospitality. I've got some very important people here. These are the arguments he used. He says, our very lives are at risk. So I'll just have to give way on this. I'll just have to compromise my morality, my morals here. He ended up gravitating to the gross, choosing this fearful path for his poor daughters. It's no wonder that they gave way to sin themselves later on. Not much of an example from their father. Fathers, are you giving the best example to your children? You're not giving them any excuse to do what's wrong, are you? You're very careful to be honourable. Because you see Lot, he gave way to greed. He gravitated to the gross. Sometimes you can open the newspaper and see something you shouldn't see, and you've got to put it in the bin before anyone else in the house sees it. That's the kind of actions we need, instead of gravitating to the gross. See Lot? He was getting honour from the dishonourable. Why was he sitting there at the gate of the city? I'll tell you. He was a counsellor. The gate of the city was like the the council offices here in Stornoway. It was the place where all the council business was done. There, Lot was allowed to take his place there. He had his seat. You could say he was elected. He was an incomer, and yet he was esteemed by these dishonourable people. Oh, you say, well, I'll do what I can in this situation. I'll take what honour they give me. But friends, he'd given way to getting honour from the dishonourable. You see how sticky his situation was. As if he was glued to that horrible position. How did he get into that situation? He was a righteous man. We're told that he vexed his soul from day to day, hearing and seeing the actions of the wicked and words of the wicked. He was vexatious, but somehow he just couldn't get out of it now. He was stuck. Are we in that path, friends? Are we getting along that path? Are we compromising, or are we willing to speak out? Are we speaking out when there's a gay parade in Stornoway? Are we speaking out when the Sabbath ferry is crossing the Minch? What are we doing? Are we just saying, oh, well, that's Stornoway these days. We just have to live with it. No, friends. You've got to speak out. You've got to protest. Or you're getting into a sticky position. A sticky situation. It's not only our sticky situation, friends. There's our secret support. Lo and behold, wonder of wonders. Despite Lot's dreadful, compromised entrapment, there was something at work that he didn't realize. Something was going on unseen by him. And it can be going on today, friends, in your life, or in your town, or in your land today. What is it? It's our secret support. Our secret support, what is it? Well, up there in the mountain, there was somebody alone. At least alone with his God. It was his uncle. It was Abraham's intercession. Have you got somebody praying for you, friend, today? You might not even be aware of it. But somebody is praying for you. And it's going to make all the difference. It says here in verse 17 of chapter 18, in fact, we could read a lot. verse 27. And Abram answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak to the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Can you believe, friends, there's somebody who has taken upon himself or herself to pray for the Lord? I know there's somebody praying for me She's up early in the morning, about 3 or 4 in the morning. She's praying. Have we got people like that? Maybe you're one of these intercessors. And you see somebody in the congregation or some relative. Oh, friends, that secret support is vital. What would have happened to Lot if Abram had not prayed? Oh, don't fail, friends. Don't fail the young people, the children, those in influential places today, Christians who are trying to take a stand. Are we failing to intercede? There was secret support. What a difference that made. Abraham's intercession. The second secret support, friends, was this. It was the Almighty's purpose. It was his purpose. In chapter 19, verse 26, it says, "And the Lord and his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." But it says also, "It came to pass when God destroyed the plain, he remembered Abraham and overthrew the cities, but Lot was spared." So, friends, behind it all, there was being worked out a great eternal purpose. Lot was in the number of the elect, and therefore he couldn't be left there in his sinful situation. He had to be taken. He had to be taken out of it. Do you know, friends, that God has an eternal purpose? Boys and girls, do you know that God has an eternal purpose for your life from before you were born, before the world was made? He had a purpose for your life. It's your job to find out that purpose. It's your job to realize that there is a secret support on which you can rely. If you're waking up to the reality, your life is not just your little life of day-to-day things. It's a fulfillment of a secret and eternal predestinated purpose. Is that showing up in the way you're living? Is that the kind of way you're living? Are you living comparable to that kind of predestinating almighty purpose? It was unseen by Lot, but that didn't stop the mighty operation of God entering in to that such sticky situation. There was a third secret purpose. It was the angel's presence. We're told that some people entertain angels unawares, and we all think of it as referring to this occasion. It's as if Lot didn't realize who these men were. Why did he give them such honor? Because Lot was a righteous man, and he had an anxious concern for any visitors, because he knew that they were walking into a fearful trap in which they would be abused and destroyed by the wickedness. And so he felt a certain responsibility. And as a result, he entertained angels. He didn't realize. And that reminds us, friends, how unawares we are of the presence of angels in our lives. I want to tell you this morning that this is part of the secret purpose of God, that there are angels active in your situation. Again and again, day by day, night by night, the angels are acting out God's secret purpose in maintaining and protecting and delivering you. If it wasn't for them, you'd be gone long ago. Just trace back to your life and think of deliverances. Perhaps you were in a motor car and amazingly you came out of a sticky situation. The angels were there. You've been led aside by school friends and you say, how can I get out of this? And suddenly, how you don't understand. The situation changed. You came out of it. Oh, when we look back from eternity, friends, we'll see how the angels of the Lord encamp and compass about those that fear him. Are you aware of it? Are you taking account that you're accompanied by the presence of angels all the way through your life? Live, friends, as if you're living in the presence of heaven. Heavenly beings are being sent down day after day for your good. Isn't that amazing? Are you not amazed? There was a secret purpose, our secret purpose. Not just Lot, it's you. There's a secret purpose for you too. Then there's this, friends, our astonishing extraction. This is an astonishing thing that happened to Lot, wasn't it? Beyond his dreams, he never thought such a thing could happen. But it happened. It was an astonishing extraction. Not like getting a tooth out in a dentist, an extraction. That can be a pretty miserable experience. No, friends, this is a much better experience. This is God reaching down into that wicked, doomed city and dragging out, extracting that child of God. Well, you say, that's amazing. Friends, that's what happened to you when you were saved. That's what happens to everyone. They experience an astonishing extraction. Your salvation is impossible unless God does an astonishing extraction. There'll be no souls saved here who are unsaved this morning unless you experience this divine supernatural extraction from your doomed position. Because that's where you are, friends. You're under the sentence of death. Hell is waiting for you unless you experience and cry out to be extracted. How were they extracted then? How can I get extracted? They were extracted by a message, by words. Words just like I'm talking today. Words can extract you. And God's used words. He sent these angels to convey words to them, to his Lot. And Lot passed on these words to others. Up, get out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. We're in this dangerous situation. If you're here this morning unconverted, you might as well be in Sodom. You're in danger of eternal damnation. That's why you must say, is there a way out for me? Lord, show me. Speak the words. Speak the words that will lift me out of my danger. Show me the way. And these are the words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. Call out now, my friend. Call out now, and you will be saved. They were extracted by another thing. not only by a message, but by what I've called mesmerizing. What happened? Just when there was a desperate danger, Lot was pulled in and the angels blinded the men. Now, this wasn't any ordinary blindness, because even if you're blind, you can find a door. There's many a blind person in Glasgow can find their way home and find the door handle and open the door. But these men couldn't do it. Why? It was more than just blindness. They were mesmerized. They were utterly confused. It was a spiritual blindness. And friends, the devil and his servants need to feel this. There are people that are targeting you. The devil is targeting you. And you won't escape unless there's a supernatural intervention. The devil is compelled to withdraw his purposes and plans and devices to destroy your soul. Perhaps you know some of these devices. But the Lord knows how to blunt every weapon. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. An astonishing extraction by a merciful removal, or we could call it a manual removal, because it was by hand. It got to the stage, the only way is to manhandle these people. And that's just what happened in this situation, that the angels, while they lingered, laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. These angels had four hands between two men, and every hand was used. One had a daughter, another had a daughter, one had a husband, and the other had a wife. And with these four hands of these two angels, these four persons were dragged out of the city. And it says, the Lord being merciful. It seemed a bit harsh, it seemed a bit violent, but that violence was in fact merciful. Maybe the Lord has some hard things to bring on you, a bit of rough handling. Friend, it's vital. It's the only way that God can mercifully deliver you from the sins that are destroying you. Are you getting it? Do you know what I'm talking about? If not, you may be like this, and we close with this. Our sorry spouses. There may be people here who's got husbands or wives or children or grandchildren. They're related to you. They're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, and yet they're destined for destruction. Isn't that frightening? Don't put confidence in your mother. Don't trust your father's prayers, friend, or your wife. I know she's a Christian, so I'll get through somehow. Don't believe it, friend. Look at Lot's wife. Remember what Jesus said? Remember Lot's wife. She was bound by family ties. Why did she not escape? Despite the angel dragging her out of the walls of the city, we're told that she looked back. What made her? What in the world made her look back? I'll tell you, maybe three things. She was bound by family ties. Do you know what was happening in that city? There were two daughters left behind. She had four daughters. Two were with her there, but remember, the two that were married already, they never escaped. And her mother's heart yearned for these daughters. And that yearning for the daughters was her destruction. such a warning to somebody. Oh, friend, it's not family ties that must count. It even says you must hate father and mother for my sake. We mustn't allow family ties to override our soul's salvation, precious though they are, painful, heartbreaking. Don't let them destroy your clinging to Christ. It seems that when they came out of the city, that Jesus, the Lord, was waiting for them there because he spoke to them. Remember, the Lord had been with Abraham, and he must have sent the two angels down into Sodom. He didn't go himself. But when they brought the others out, he was waiting. Isn't that amazing? The Lord was waiting for them. It's as if Lot's wife met the Lord, and even that didn't persuade her. Isn't it fearful how people can go back from the greatest of privileges? That's what Hebrews warns about. She was also bound by heart springs to the pleasures. We never read that she vexed her righteous soul. She had embraced Sodom and its pleasures. Fullness of bread, we're told in Ezekiel. Oh, everything was so lovely there. It was like Egypt of old, the cucumbers and onions. Everything that a housewife would love to have to make the best of food. Everything was going well for Lot's wife, and she couldn't bear to walk away from her kitchen. From these lovely marketplaces. Oh no, we're not going back to Abram's tent, are we? That's unbearable. So she was destroyed by being bound to pleasures and comforts. And lastly, friends, she was bound by soul sickness. There's no word that she was a child of God. No word that she was one of the elect. And so our soul was sick. And that is what takes you and me to hell. It's the sickness of our souls. And it binds us to the way of transgressors, the way of unbelief, the refusal to go on and to go on to eternal life. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. Let us pray. Living God, we know it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But we thank thee also that there is a wonderful, glorious work of extraction by which the Lord Jesus visited our Sodom and took our place and our damnation. He took the fire of judgment on his own soul. By that means, if we cling to him and take the hand that he reaches out to us, we will be gloriously saved and escape from our just judgment. Oh, is there anyone here today this morning who is contemplating, must I make this choice? Grant them, Lord, to reach out their hand and so say, Lord, take me. I offer myself. All my life, I offer to you. Grant them so to do to the glory of your name and their eternal salvation. For God, salvation belongs unto the Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We conclude by singing in Psalm 119 again, this time at verse 25. 119, verse 25. My soul to dust cleaves, quicken me, that means revive me. according to thy word. My ways I showed, and me thou heardst. Teach me thy statutes, Lord. The way of thy commandments make me aright to know. So all thy works that wonders are, I shall to others show. We'll sing up to verse 32. No, sorry, I'm going to change it to verse 30. Just as far presented as verse 30. Five stanzas of Psalm 119. My soul to dust cleaves, quicken me.
My soul to dust cleaves, quicken me.
Prayer meetings will be on Thursday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Both meetings to be taken by the elders. Sabbath services next week will be the usual times, taken by Reverend David Blunt. Building fund collections will be taken after both services next Sabbath. A press meeting meets here in the church on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Also, many thanks to those who kindly provided good things for the church picnic yesterday. Sincere thanks to them all. These are all the intimations, God willing. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain upon you now and ever. Amen.